Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here with Great American Golf. I'm your caddy for the show. After 27 years almost, my goodness, do you know, I was told recently after some pretty significant research was done that I am the longest running, it could be the second longest. They're trying to refine it a little bit. Golf radio show in the United States that has been on the same time, same days, longest running in the USA. I'm shocked. But then again, that's a lot of years to be doing radio. And it may be that I'm one of the longest running radio shows, period. I don't know. They're working on all that. We'll find out. Blah, blah, blah. All I know is I have a great time doing these shows, folks. It's all because of you, the listeners. Our great sponsors make it happen. And wonderful, capable, well, the best of the best joining me week in and week out as my guest. Co-hosts like Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America's historian emeritus, Craig Renshaw, one of our great teachers in the country. He's teaching today, but he'll be joining us on Monday for the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And of course, Tina Toombs has begun to join us as one of our great women in golf. She's a noted golf instructor for many, many years. She'll join us several times going forward. All the other great women in golf segment guests that I have on over the years, and well, just everybody who comes on the show to talk golf with me. I thank them and you, the listeners, so very, very much. As far as sponsors go, well, you know that I'm going to tell you about Squares Golf Shoes at squares.com. You know I'm going to tell you about Tour Edge at Tour Edge Golf, some of the great equipment, golf equipment manufactured right there in Chicago, Illinois, put together, sent out right there from Chicago to you. You want to go to touredge.com. We're going to be having John Claffey on soon. We're going to talk about the new putters. Wow. Talk about innovation. And then I've got to talk about certifreshcigar.com. Certifreshcigar.com. Been with me for many years also. Those three have been with me along with Legacy Golf Resort here in Phoenix. And you can go to golflegacyresort.com. Those four have been with me the longest of any of my sponsors in history. And I thank them so very much. There are so many things going on at their websites for Father's Day coming up. And I want to make sure you get to those websites and check out all the things available. And you also want to make sure you look at my big summer golf product guide for Father's Day gift ideas with these companies and more there included. And I can send you that if you want it, or if you want to be on my list, you write to me. Either way, golfadams@msn.com. golfadams@msn.com. And how do you listen to these radio shows that are some of the longest running golf radio shows in America? Well, you go to golfnewsnet.com, thegolfnewsnet.com. Ryan Ballingy, the owner, purveyor, maybe one of the hardest working guys in the country. Ryan does an amazing job. He's such a talent in so many ways. Thegolfnewsnet.com. These radio podcast shows, today's show, Monday's Golf Lifestyle Show, go over there immediately where they air for a day or two. Then they go over to all the big podcast platforms. Same thing with Match Play with Ray Adams TV as well. And you can go to my YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook sites, and especially YouTube channel, by using Match Play TV. Well, we had to get a few of those little sponsor and plugs in to get the show going, to help direct you. Hope you're getting ready to have an amazing Saturday and Sunday. What a weekend start it's already been. Lots of golf to talk about. And of course, right now is Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America historian. Bob, take over. What do we got going today? How are you feeling? How are you doing? After being beat up and cut to pieces by my dermatologist, I did wear a nice shirt for years in my and all of our guests. We see each other on video. But I got to tell you, I really wanted to be in my Bob Denny uniform. And that's a great t-shirt.
Well, it's that time of year where we're just sort of like an access point before we head into another major before the US Open. And it's the Canadian Open this week, dominating play with the second oldest event in the PGA Tour history. Began in 1904. The BMW Championship, which used to be the Western Open, that was 1899. And the Texas Open is the number three at 1922. So that's their top three. But the Canadian Open has always been, always what interested me. It's a tournament that Jack Nicklaus never won, but wanted to win. Tiger Woods has made some of the greatest shots in the history of the Canadian Open, from especially from a bunker across water on the last hole. I'll never forget. And it right now we have a an interesting leaderboard heading into it, with Ben James 10 under, Sam Burns still looking for another win. He's got 5 under his belt. He's not one stroke back. Jackson Suber 9 under, Haitong Li and Jesper Svensson 9 under. Mr. Koepka, Bruce Koepka is 2 strokes back.
Well, this is a big deal for Brooks Koepka, and he's played some great golf so far. But I'd like to see Brooks win. He needs to do that because he is so talked about and so much and so many times about how he's really always jacked up for the majors, but not so much for the week in and week out tour events. And with him back on the PGA Tour, I think he needs to win on the PGA Tour. He needs to show a little bit more interest and a little bit more focus to win some PGA Tour events now that he's back on the tour. What do you think?
Well, I think he's pacing himself very well. I don't think it's a major problem. He's a good athlete, and he's at times one of the best putters out there. And I think he'll be he's always finding his groove, I guess, is the best thing to say it. And got to remember that LIV Golf players have to break their get their legs back underneath them, so to speak. When it comes back into the competition levels and what they're dealing with, different formats, the fact that their travel is a little different now, and that kind of thing. So I think it's interesting to see that there's so many different behind the scenes things happening right in golf, and one of them, which we'll probably get into, is the PGA Tour partnership with the DP World Tour in Golf Australia. We get into that in a little while.
Absolutely, absolutely. I sent you over an article about our Ryder Cup captain Jim Furyk, and that he had noticed something about Scottie Scheffler, that the article says he thought should not have happened. We're going to get to that. I just want to let everybody get a little teaser there. We have several things we're going to be talking about on the show today that I'm excited about. But I also noticed that, there's a lot of players that are weighing in these days, and they have been, especially since now LIV is going through their struggles, future unknown, PGA Tour really needing for their ratings, which have been way down or down anyway, and the restructuring of the PGA Tour under new leadership. They need these big name players back. They need them. They want them. I think the fans want them back. Can you imagine if they get Bryson DeChambeau back, that there's rumblings around about that he might do that, Bob?
Yeah, right now he's preparing for another U.S. Open, so he's like a lightning rod. When he gets out there, people attract to him. They watch him with his 130 mile an hour swing speed, or maybe something in that range, and He's just got a ability to make it interesting because of his strength and his tactician work out there. But he has not played well in the majors yet this year, and we'll see if this might be the way to turn it around. But I do know that viewership is very spotty, and it's frankly, this not the most interesting thing to watch on television at times, unless we get down to playoffs and some captivating final holes, which we've seen in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Here's what Mark Hensby posted. I don't know. I think I sent this to you. Hensby said, "Imagine being one of the PGA Tour players who turned down 100 million plus." Now, they all didn't get that.
No.
Some of them got 10, 15, 20, 30 million, maybe 40 million. Only the greatest marquee players in the world, and we're probably talking about five or six of them, got that 100 million or more, so far as we know. But Hensby says, imagine being one of the PGA Tour players who turned down 100 million plus to go to live for all the reasons of what would happen to their PGA Tour status and the consequences, he writes. Then 4 years later, a player who signed with live can simply pay a fine and just waltz back in like nothing happened. It just shows, in my opinion, how desperate the PGA Tour is for ratings and exposure. Clearly, their ratings suck. I'm quoting Mark Hensby. Brooks is a great player, no doubt brings attention to tournaments, but in saying that he never really seemed interested in any events other than the majors, players in general are not happy. Bob?
Yeah, it's interesting. We see one come out and boldly say those kind of things, and that's to me is speaks that the grumblings that's going on among the rank and file, and that's it's typical of what we see in that trying to make it on a week basis. It's very expensive to make it on a week-to-week basis in golf, and those that aren't got the great platforms, the great cushion of sponsorships and the great entourage that helped them, they have to go through this. That's the way golf has always been the toughest thing, because it's a meritocracy and you have to fight every week to make it and get through it. So those are the elements that are coming forth right now. But I also wonder if the grumblings, other than Mark Hensby, what if a sponsor or a television network person would open up, say something like that openly. They wouldn't, obviously, but I'm sure there's a lot going on behind the scenes, but that Mark just sort of reflects it with being as honest as he has in his comments.
Tell me a little bit about, let's go ahead and talk about Jim Furyk a little bit. He is our Ryder Cup captain coming up at Adair Manor in Ireland in a year and a half. And of course we love the Ryder Cup. I've covered them. You've covered more than me over the years. I've been to Ryder Cups, covering them live on the grounds right there. Rome 2 years ago, one of them. Bethpage Black last fall, another. I was at the 2008 at Valhalla when we finally won, because we had pods, players that had been strategically researched, studied, interviewed by Zinger, Paul Azinger, and put together in groups. And I don't know whether we're doing pods or groups, but I'm sure we're doing something of that sort as we put together the teams and the pairings and la la la. But he said that he saw something about Scottie Scheffler that shouldn't have been. Did you read that?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Jim was commenting about the foursomes, which and the average person doesn't understand it. It means alternate shot. And when you watch Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley go out for And there were matches. One was odds and one's evens for teeing off on different holes. And instead, it contributed, Jim said this, it contributed significantly to the U.S. struggles in the foursomes format. We've had a lousy record in it in the last several Ryder Cups. And he said, I think that should never happen. I mean, they should be consistently put together and studied all the way up to the time they tee off, so they know exactly where they are. And he says, pairings is how we match people up. Things like that should not happen, unquote.
Is he saying that that was a big mistake on the part of the captain? Or is it his opinion it shouldn't happen and he'll manage things differently?
He used the word U.S. He inferred it was U.S. leadership that led to that.
Right.
Okay. The
It's
force,
not
the
why
f
we lost the Ryder Cup,
no,
though.
no, but you're building a hole. You're building a hole early. You know, we watched on television, those of us who enjoyed it, the New York Knicks tw from 29 points behind coming to defeat the San Antonio Spurs. Well, in the Ryder Cup, you build a big deficit, you're not going to catch up that fast. That's simply is simply a law of numbers.
Okay, well, the miracle, one of the great miracles of sports, and one of the great chokes of sport that I have seen in my lifetime occurred the other night with the Spurs and the Knicks. How? Now, this is a golf show, folks, but sidebar, how in the world, and we've seen this in golf. It's why I'm making a point of it because it's happened in golf as well. There's been big breakdowns, big chokes where the person lost the tournament, the other one didn't win. But how in the world, Bob? You tell me.
Basketball is my second favorite sport, Ray. I covered it
29
for many
point.
years.
Okay, well, you're the
Yeah,
expert
yeah.
then.
It was very
29,
easy.
how are you up
I counted
29
six
points?
possessions that the Spurs came down and launched a three-pointer before the shot clock came down to single digits. That happened. They had a wide open shot. They missed six straight. And they strategically, the Knicks fought their way back. And by the time they just chopped it down, a 15-point lead was nothing by that time. It meant nothing because of his third quarter had over 9 minutes to go. So they're very smart. They play good pressure defense. The Spurs were just launching and launching, thinking, oh, this is easy now, blah, blah, blah. We're up for a big, big ton of points. We scored 76 points at halftime. By the end of the third quarter, we barely had 90. That shows you how mismanaged it was. That's leadership. From the bench, that was not good leadership. I'm sorry.
So does the coach of the Spurs have to be fired over that magnificent historical loss?
No. I don't think he's going
You
to
don't
get
think so.
fired for it, no. But I'll tell you what,
29 points from one of the great teams in
that's
the
one you have to
NBA
live with. You
Finals.
have to live with that for the rest of your career.
The rest of your life.
And remember the Atlanta Falcons against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl? 28-3 was the score at one point. Atlanta and the Patriots came back and won the game.
What a meltdown.
Yes.
It just was so hard to watch it. Okay, but we've had it in golf, and that's why I bring it up. We could go back in history and we could look at numerous times players on both men and women's side. It just melted down, call it a choke, call it they were afraid, they were nervous. Look at what Ricky Fowler just did recently. Completely screwed up the back nine of the tournament
That's right.
and was playing such great golf. I mean, how do you do it? Craig Renshaw said he was all over the course from one nine to another. He completely lost it and
Yeah.
started playing like an amateur, Bob.
I didn't expect that out of Ricky Fowler, to be
No,
honest with you, because
no.
I he looked so under control. But I think he had a 32 in the front. I think that's right. And he had a 42 in the back. Does that sound right?
Horrible.
Yeah. And it you don't see those every other day in a pro golf for one thing, but it's just massive snowball effect. Okay. Ray, did you see that comment later about Paul Azener talking about developing a permanent director of a Ryder Cup or general manager position
Yeah,
for
go ahead and
team?
tell us about that. I
Yeah.
glanced at it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think, and while we're talking about Ryder Cup and management and hearing things like that, coaching and all that,
Yeah.
go tell us about it.
Well, Paul proposed creating a permanent director of Ryder Cup or general manager position for Team USA. A permanent position. He believes a dedicated long-term manager is needed to oversee the broader competitive details, course setups, and scouting, which would alleviate the day-to-day burden on the captain. Well, we go back to some shows in the past where Craig Renshaw, our friend and PGA professional, says that the captain's role is overrated. Well, in some ways, yes, but when it comes down to pairings and preparation of the golf course,
I'm sorry, Freddie Couples said,
yeah.
and I was sitting 6 feet from him in a media group, when he said out loud for the records, it's not that difficult to be a Ryder Cup captain. It's
All right.
not. Go ahead.
Okay. It's not that difficult, but are all the details and the dots and dots are the letters dotted and the I's crossed, the letters crossed, whatever it may be.
So a permanent manager is like
Yes.
having a commissioner or a CEO of the PGA Tour. You're dealing with a commissioner or an executive
Yeah.
that's permanently there for the Ryder Cup.
That's what he said. Yeah. Well, in Europe, they probably chuckle at it because they have got the system down pat, and Luke Donald is favored to win a third straight Ryder Cup in Ireland because he is a man that believes in details, and he does it naturally without making a big deal about it. That's the one thing I noticed about him. But the story is, are you prepared? With the golf course, are you comfortable with it? Are you comfortable with the team that you have out there? And pairings are everything, believe me. Pairings are important. And how you put people, I've Ben Crenshaw was on this show with us. We bring up 1999. I guarantee you he'd bring up how they fought and decided over at the last minute who would be their pairings for the final day to try to catch Europe at the country club in 1999. That pairings were everything.
Well, we're going to find out. Things are unfolding. I'm loving it. I love little breaking pieces of news here and there about the Ryder Cup. I wish I had more breaking news about the tour, though, because, somebody contacted me this week and said, Nelly Korda is in the LPGA Hall of Fame. I wrote back and I said, no, she's not. She's not going to be until she gets a couple more points. So I want to clear this up with everybody. To be in the LPGA Hall of Fame, the most difficult Hall of Fame to be in of any sport. And there are many people that agree to that, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can tell me why it's the most difficult in a minute, but you're not voted on by peers. You're not voted on by journalists, golf writers. You're not put in the LPGA Hall of Fame out of favoritism. You could be one of the most disliked players on the earth and get in, and you could be one of the most liked players on the earth and never get in. Why? Because in order to get in the LPGA Hall of Fame, you must have a total of 27 points. You get 2 points for every major that you win. Nelly has won four. You get 1 point for every regular week in and week out LPGA Tour win. Nelly has 15. You get 1 point if you win the Olympic gold medal. Nelly did that. And if you are the player of the year, you get a point. So Nelly has 25 points.
Don't forget the Vera Trophy.
Oh, I forgot the Vare Trophy. That's true. If you win the Vare Trophy, you get a point also. But I don't know that she's won the Vare, has she?
I'm not familiar with that at the point.
But if you
Don't,
win the Vare, which is the scoring, if you have the lowest score for the year average, yes, you get a point. But anyway, Nellie has 25 points. She needs two more. One more major, she's in.
She has not won the Vera Trophy yet.
I didn't think so because it wasn't listed on my research. Two more wins on the tour, which you figure she's getting, or one more major.
It'd be very surprising if she doesn't finish it off this year in some way.
Well, and player of the year too, since she's already won two majors. So I just want to clear that up for the folks that are thinking about it, looking at it. You've written to me about it. There's an answer. Okay. They're begging me for nuggets. They're writing to me here. I have multiple monitors set up in my little broadcast studio, folks. So I see everything. You can write to me, golfadams@msn.com, and you can send me your thoughts, ideas, questions. You can also weigh in on the conversation. You can also tell me to put you on my big email list so that you get on all of my holiday and other gift guides and product guides throughout the year. Bob?
Two players have won the Triple Crown in golf, and the Triple Crown now. That's not the Grand Slam. It's in a single season, they won the U.S. Open, the Open Championship. It used to be called the British Open in slang on this side of the pond, and the Canadian Open. And those two players, Lee Trevino and Tiger Woods. Lee Trevino in 1971, Tiger Woods in the year 2000.
Wow. So in 1971, well, and Trevino was forever the only one that had ever done it. Folks, you got to go to my YouTube channel and watch my show. I'm not bragging. It's all Lee Trevino. We just filmed it. I was just a humble host that asked a few questions. But if you love Lee Trevino and you want to know why the Masters golf tournament was an issue for him, you want to know other things, his opinion about Nicklaus, you've got to go to my YouTube channel, Match Play TV, all one word. Find the episode with Lee Trevino. You will love it. And many thousands, over 10,000 and more, have seen it and they continue to watch it. All right, Bob. So keep going. Go ahead.
And I also think it's fun to look at 2 years ago, now it's 3 years ago, Nick Taylor. 3 years ago this
Yeah.
happened. He became the first Canadian in 69 years to win the Canadian Open. And he did it with a 72-foot eagle putt in a playoff. And
We watched
that's
it.
one of the great ones.
It's one of the greatest moments in any sports history. Certainly, it's in one of the great moments in golf history. And boy, did he ball to a national champion, an icon, along with Mike Weir.
That's right.
So, and I don't know about Nick Taylor as far, what's he been up to?
What's he been up to?
Yeah, he plays a lot of golf, but he hasn't been able to top that one, has he?
No, he hasn't. No. But he's been playing very well this year. He's been close. He was close at the Memorial. He's been playing pretty solid. I just think that some things stand out in my mind about putts, and I think about Costantino Rocca at St. Andrews with his putt after a bad chip over the Valley of Sin and in the cup to force a playoff with John Daly in St. Andrews. I think about J.J. Spahn's big putt last year in the U.S. Open to win. And I think about Nick Taylor. I think about that putt. You know,
Yeah.
those are most recent in my mind of some of the monster putts, which had a lot of importance.
Well, if you want monster putts and you want putts under pressure, you know, and they're doing this whole UFO thing, you know, it's all coming out. They're releasing all these records in the military and all this kind of stuff. Alex Maselli and I sat after the US Open and the playoff after the playoff that Tiger Woods won on a broken foot against Rocco in 2008, Torrey Pines. And I interviewed Alex and I said, if you peel him open, is there an alien under there? And Alex, we laughed. And Alex said, well, it very well could be. You talk about some of the greatest putts in golf history, the longest, the greatest. Look what he did at the amateurs. Look what he's done over his career. But those putts at that 08 Open, I mean, Rocco had it won so many times. I was there. I walked every foot of the tournament, the playoff, and the playoff after the playoff.
Yeah, that was incredible. He had a torn ACL and a double stress fracture in his left tibia,
Yeah.
and he wins that event by sheer guts at the end.
Oh, yeah. Guts and skill.
Yeah.
You know, it
That
just,
that's one of the great ones.
it's one of the greatest of all times. Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America Historian Emeritus. And you, there's some wonderful sponsors that are going to give you some of their ideas, some of their words, and their products. Innovation. So be using my word of the year, acceptant of this. And enjoy the sponsors' messages. Please listen to them and stay with me. And when we come back, loads of more great golf talk right here on Great American Golf. We'll look at a couple more leaderboards too. Bob has them up and ready to look at. So don't think we forgot about that. And if you want to talk about anything else, you want to be on my gift guide list, golfadams at msn.com. Be right back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. It's Great American Golf. My goodness gracious, we've got loads of golf going on everywhere. Canadian Open on the PGA Tour. We've had a lot of golf talk already on the show with Dr. Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian emeritus. Does emeritus mean, Bob, that you've just been around forever? Or
Yes.
does it mean that you're the greatest in the country?
No, it just means that they put a little crusty title out there. and you try to hold on to the crusty.
So what I like is you're still working for the PGA of America, doing a lot of historical work. I think it's notable to remind the folks that you were very, very instrumental in helping to elaborate on the inside of the home of the PGA of America in Frisco, Texas, as far as the history, some of the artifacts, things like that. We've got the big buying summit coming up there. We've got lots of golf coming up at Frisco at the home of the PGA of America. Bob, tell the folks a little bit more again about what you did do as a historian for the PGA when they were building and getting ready to open up their big new home of the PGA of America in the Dallas area. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Well, I try to do two things. I try to meet my mandate to have the most important artifacts that shape the history of the PGA of America from its beginning in 1916 in one place, and also have expanded out to some of the more modern things that have happened over the years, the great things. We can talk about the team shirts they wore in 1999 at the Ryder Cup, the Sparkham on that final day, which were just teams that were important in past. And Ben Crenshaw gave them those. It looks like almost like a wearing a blanket quilt, and they were wearing those out there to win. And lo and behold, they're ugly, but they were important. So that shirt's on display. The original Wanamaker trophy is there, the Rodman Wanamaker trophy. And I will tell people that you can go back and study the history of the Wanamaker trophy and learn one thing, that when it was first crafted, it was by the company DeAges and Clust in New York City. Well, later on, they developed another trophy. It's called the Heisman Trophy. So they had some importance. So I was trying to bring that in, the Alfred S. Bourne Trophy, that the event was played at Augusta National. So all those events are right there, and I try to bring it together and give them things, and also some unique portraits that were being found within the complex. Some of the greatest artists, great portrait artists in golf, Ben Hogan, Sam Snead, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, some wonderful Gary Player, some beautiful portrait, oil portraits are out there. So you can walk in and you're not going to be overwhelmed by a long, drawn out place. It's very strategic how they planned that. And I give them credit for that, that I never got to meet some of these folks face to face. But I was trying to make sure we saved the important artifacts and that we have them on display, including at one point, Ray, clubs used by the founding fathers of the PGA of America.
Wow, that was pretty cool. And you found them. They were somewhere in an attic and you got them and cleaned them up. I mean, where were they kept?
They were actually at the PGA, the former PGA Historical Center in Port St. Lucie. They had actually been in the past used in Pinehurst, and we've had those in saved through the years by people who have been very careful about saving some of the major clubs that were done in the past, from Jim Barnes driver to Walter Hagen's Brassey. There's a number of shot different clubs that were importantly kept, and thank goodness they didn't go anywhere else, but kept within the PGA of America's realm.
Other leaderboards, what's happening? Let's do a little review. We're right in the middle of it. We
Okay.
got a big weekend of golf going on all over.
Let's jump over for a moment to the PGA Tour Champions 54-hole event. Just started today at one of my favorite courses in Iowa at the Wakanda Club in Des Moines,
I've been
the
there.
Principal Charity Classic.
Been there.
George McNeil and Scott Hend are 7 under. Zach Johnson from Iowa is 5 back, and John Sendin 6 back, and Miguel Jimenez a stroke back. So that's
My,
it's a good golf course. It's always been challenging.
well, my great friend Miguel Angel Jimenez, right there, and he's always right. They're all always right there. It's a great leaderboard. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love Des Moines. Love Iowa. It's a wonderful state. The Midwesterners from the Iowa area and those states. I'm a Midwesterner from Michigan. My great friends from Minnesota are Midwesterners. And we're all, well, so many of us are transplants here to Arizona. I got here when I was 5. My parents carried my brother and I here, and then another brother was born here because they wanted out of the ice and the snow and the sleet and the cold and the bitter. And my dad was a golfer there and an excellent one. He became better and better, and he wanted to move to Arizona to play golf. And after they woke my mother up, from fainting, they sold their business, they sold the house, they brought their two little boys, and we kind of like not the Beverly Hillbillies, but I don't know, the Michigan Hillbillies, I don't know. We moved to Phoenix and we put down in Phoenix or in Tempe, home of Arizona State University. And my dad played golf at Papago Golf Club, one of the great, great men's clubs in the United States ever. And he played to a plus one or two handicap. And a lot of those people did in those years, played in a lot of big, huge tournaments. And he put a club in my hand when I was 7. It's the only lesson I ever got from my dad. Put a club in my hand and said, Ramey, it's my nickname. Here's how you hold the club. Here's how you stand at the ball. And here's how you aim where you're going to hit the ball. Grip, aim, stance. And he said, through your life, practice putting and chipping more than you practice anything else ever. Because nothing else really matters. It does, but it really doesn't. Now I'm 7. Now, did my dad talk to me and show me things and tell me some things over the years? Yes. But the only lesson that I really got from him was grip, aim, and stance. And you'd be surprised, Bob, and some of the great teachers, Costas, great PGA Tour players, coaches, teachers, over the years have said, how off some of them are. Forget about amateur players with the grip, the aim, and the stance. The most fundamental part of the game, the beginning of learning, and the way you start. Take over.
Yeah. My father told me, just keep your head down. And he also showed me the value of the 8 iron. The 8 iron became a utility club for me. It was one that never failed me to on saving strokes. But my dad never overstepped how to play a golf course. He was strategic like Jack Nicklaus. And I'll never forget him, get him coming home one time, and he was proud to show off a trophy and a little crystal he'd won for having a hole in one on a 200-yard hole in a tournament. So I felt, and what he did it with that club that he had, I think it was a 4 iron or something like it's today. It looks like a rod used in most times in ancient warriors in the battlefield. There's no flexibility to it, as I'm trying to say. But anyway, my father was the one that I walked the fairways with, and I'll never forget it.
Well, I can tell you that every great player or teacher that has been on this show in nearly 27 years has boiled it down, has advised, has given their great, great tip, opinion. Putt and chip, practice the short game. Practice putting and chipping, and you'll lower strokes. You will have more fun. You will beat your partners more often. Putting and chipping in the short game is what it's all about. And yet, I know we all know that taking out that driver, teeing it up high, and just launching it and seeing it fly is a thrill. It is a thrill. There's something ancient about getting the ball airborne and seeing it fly. It's almost like a spear being thrown, an arrow being shot out of a bow, a rock from a slingshot. I don't know. It's some ancient inner feeling that we get when we launch a ball in the air and watch it fly. I love it. But I more love practicing chipping and putting. And we can only highly suggest to all of you listening, follow all the great teachers, all the great players, men and women alike on the tours, all of their advice for all of these years I've been on the air. Practice your putting, practice your chipping. Do that. We saw Nelly Korda, world number one, just last week, almost lip out from 2 feet, 10 inches and would have gone into a playoff for the Women's US Open. Now the putt, because the cup is round, went round and round and fell in, but she even put her hand over her mouth and went, oh, it took her breath away for a moment, as it did all the other commentators, Bob.
Yes.
That yeah. You can miss a 2 foot, 10 inch putt. You can miss it. Look what happened to Doug Sanders at the British Open long ago. And many, many, many. We've seen Phil miss short putts, and he's a fabulous putter. And it goes on and on and on. Your short game, practice it. All right. That's what's happening at Wakanda in Des Moines on the Champions Tour. What's our next leaderboard we should look at?
The LPGA are playing a team event. Team event in Midland, Michigan. It's called the Dow Championship.
Yep.
And last year, the Korean team of Somi Lee and Jin Hee Im won. They're four back, but the leader is from Japan, the team of Ayaka Furui and Nishimura. They're minus 11. Nelly Korda and Olivia Cowan from Germany cross the pond are playing with his teammates, Olivia Cowan of Germany and Nelly Korda, 10 under par.
Isn't that wonderful? Keep going. Who's next?
Okay. The DP Tour is off this week. They're getting those players are always focusing that are they've earned their way into the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills are there. And that's our top tours right there, Ray.
Those are our tours. We've got all of that and more going on this weekend. It's a lot of fun. And I know that we've got, you know, lots of other sports happening. I want to mention, Bob, I have never over the years, and I've always been outspoken about it, I do not get into other subjects or issues besides golf. This show and our sister show, the Monday Golf Lifestyle shows, over the years have always been golf talk shows. Now, the Lifestyle shows has different impact segments, where we wrap up golf, we talk a lot about golf, but then we also talk about other lifestyle topics that golfers love. From other sports, we have a culinary segment, a travel segment, a wellness segment. We have the superintendents on called Super Golf, Great Women in Golf, and I can go on. And we love that. I don't ever talk politics. Why would I want to lose half of my audience? And I don't want to, and I'm not going to. However, I did, out of the show, it's not part of Great American Golf or really the Lifestyle show, and it will be posted, and it will be out there on my platforms. I did interview, because I'm in Arizona. I'm a very, very dedicated, passionate Arizona lover, citizen, and we have a governor's election coming up. One of our congressmen from our largest district is Congressman David Schweikert in Washington, D.C., and he joined me for a near two-hour interview this week that I recorded. We're editing it and putting it together and it will be placed up on the various audio platforms so that you can listen to that. Now, because I want to be very, very fair, I'm also working, my team and I are working on getting Governor Katie Hobbs on, current governor of Arizona, running again for governor. And we hope that Governor Hobbs will join us, and I'll be able to do the same exact thing with Governor Hobbs, to interview her, talk about the issues, get them out, being very fair and open about all of it, with both sides of the aisle on the Arizona governor's race. So remember, folks, I'm all about golf. I'm staying that way. I'm not taking sides. But once in a blue moon, here and there, it calls for some information, some education to come out. And I just want to let you know I've done it. I'm going to continue to work on that for your benefit, for those of you that are Arizona, because whoever's elected governor in Arizona, Bob, will interface with all the other governors, and the issues that they face will be issues that our governor will face in Arizona. They'll deal with your governor in Florida and governors in every state. And we want the issues out. We want to understand them. We want the problems to be solved. And we want every state, all the great states of America, to be a part of having great leadership, great management. We talked about fire. We talked about so many different things, issues in Arizona. And I must say, he was very open. And 2 hours, my goodness, I thought it was going to be about 20, 30 minutes. So again, I'm hoping we can get Governor Hobbs on. And I want to let everybody know that when you see that it came from me, what it is, and why I did it. All right, let's keep talking some golf. Bob, what does it take for us to realize that golf is, it's not just a sport, that it is a culture. It is an environment that you immerse yourself in. It is a lifestyle. It's why I called my Monday golf show the lifestyle show. And there's just so much to golf. And there's so many people that are involved in the game. I want to make this comment. There were a couple of people that became PGA of America members within the last week or so. And they posted that on LinkedIn or Facebook, whatever. Now, the former president of the PGA of America, Don Rae, who we've had on the show many times over the years, he's the owner and operator of Augusta Ranch Golf Club, one of the most wonderful golf clubs. The investment that Augusta Ranch has made in Phoenix in the technology, it's just fabulous. You need to go to Augusta Ranch Golf Club and find out. But Don, as secretary, vice president, and president, especially over the years, was always there when people, and I saw their posts. I don't know if everyone he did, but whenever I saw a new member of the PGA of America announce they had become a member and they were honored by that and excited about that, Don would always go on there and say, congratulations, welcome, good for you, whatever his comments were. At least two this last week posted that they were now new members. Zero that I could find. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Zero people, executives or leaders from the PGA of America, congratulated them. I was saddened by that. You tell me.
I don't know what their system is about honoring their members. I know what the magazine system is. As always, they have them listed in the magazine. I don't know what it the section does for them. It currently, I've been out of the loop as far as what the sections do to honor new members, but it's important. It's a tradition. It's I think is very always stay with us, and I consider the PGA membership the greatest extended family in golf. I always had some tremendous friends and relationships among those people. They've been my dear friends for a long, long time. So I honor those that have gone through the process to try to become a PGA professional, because if anybody who's listening to this program understands what a PGA professional is, it's a multitasker. It's someone that gets up every day and works twice as hard to try to make their job meaningful and helpful others. And that's why golf is still the greatest game, regardless what people may think on the periphery, who don't really understand what it's all about.
Right. Just going a little bit farther with this, and not so much with that part of the discussion, but golf really is a culture. It's a lifestyle. It's more than a game. So how can golf courses, golf leadership, golf shows like this, both television and radio, how can we all work more diligently to understand that going forward and capturing young people and new golfers, men and women, and on it goes, that what can we do to recognize that there's way more to the game than just the stats, just the reviews, just the commenting on the golf and the golfers of different tours. How do we do better to embrace the sport as it grows and changes and capture the minds, the ears, the eyes, and the hearts of the fans? How do we do that, Bob? How can we be, how can I be better at that?
As expressing the culture of the game, is that what you're saying?
The culture, appealing, embracing, connecting with the fans above and beyond just the game and the numbers and the players.
For
What more
me,
can we do?
it's a little easier because I sort of go back into what I my second passion in the game is honoring the veterans and what they have gone through with PTSD and other things. We look at what the game has meant to them. It's a bonding. It's an automatic bonding. It's a rebirth in many cases. And I think the game of golf should never be minimized when it comes to how it helps the mental state of way things. I think that's important about what the game has done. It's great to bring up the juniors and so forth, but how do you nurture the juniors by the time they get to adulthood? What are they finding that the game has brought to them? I think it's self-reliance. I think it's resilience, and I think it's vision. I think all those enter into it. And I think when we look back at when I spoke about the veterans, is they have found new ways of smiling out there. Some of these fellas have come out from really tough stories. And I hope in this program later, I talk to you later about a program and a project I finished. So I hope that I can bring that up again. But to
I
me,
mean, wait,
it's
you want to talk about that right now?
not right now, no.
Okay,
We'll
okay,
do that later. But
okay.
my purpose is that the game of golf and its culture is never going to be minimized by those that really want to get out there and be a part of nature, want to be a part of bonding, want to have friendships. That's the important part. You don't play golf in a vacuum. You
No,
play
you
it with
don't.
others.
You do. And it's for companionship and camaraderie and the enjoyment of each other's company, the great outdoors, the open spaces, the beauty, the flowers. Thank goodness gracious for our great superintendents in this world that make the golf courses what they are. The
Yes.
designers, the architects, all of them have been on my shows over the years and more. I say all of them. For all these years, I've had so many of them on with me. And I'll continue to do this over the next 27 years. Okay. Yeah, we hope and pray, right? So I'm loving it. Now, along with this and talk about a golfer, loves basketball, very good at it all his life, was a child movie actor, went to work at Discount Tire, one of our great, great family-owned national companies, a sponsor of my shows, when he was very young. His brother was a manager and taught him how to change a tire. Went to work at Discount Tire, stayed there forever, became an executive, a young executive, and moved into his, you know, career years, finally retired. He's now 61 years old. If you looked at him, you'd think he was about 35 or 40. I've never seen anybody look younger for his age. His dream was to become a stand-up comedian. He started working on that during the final years of his career at Discount Tire. He then, after he retired, started doing stand-up comedy all over the place, and he still does that. He has a very, very, very successful podcast that he started a few years ago after retirement. He has a nonprofit foundation for folks with limb loss. Who am I talking about? Well, he was the subject of my television show, My Guest. We filmed it at a Discount Tire a few years ago and at a golf course, Troon, I believe, one of my sponsors. Loves to play the game, good at it. Loves to play basketball, good at it. But he played professional bowling on the professional bowling tour, the PBA, when he was young. Now he's returning to the PBA at 61 years old, and he will return to the PBA tour. Who am I talking about? Mike Boland. He's been on this show, subject of my and guest on my TV show. Go to my YouTube site, Matchplay TV, find his episode, Mike Boland. Mike is special because he was born without a right hand. Unbelievable skills. He said it was possibly a blessing. It was a blessing for him that this happened. He was born this way. And that he just grew up and was used to having one hand and participated in all the sports, became good at everything that he did, but then became a professional bowler on tour. And now he will return. Go find Mike Boland. He is just an amazing guy. And he hosts his podcast, We're Not Stumped. We're Not Stumped. My great friend, Mike Boland, he will join us and talk about his return to the PBA tour. But you talk about reaching out and appealing to and telling stories that are relative to people's lives in golf, to capture the culture and the passion. I think that's a great way to do it. What Mike is doing in his world, we've got to do it in our world more and better in golf, Bob.
I agree.
I'm going to give you the final word, and then I have a few sponsors to shout out and say thank you. Let me give you the final word from Dr. Bob Denny.
Well, I'm just looking at the events this week, and we know we're a week away from the U.S. Open. I think it's interesting to watch all the different tours, but to me, the Canadian Open's an interesting one. I like the spirit up there, and I like it the fact that they were born, 14 years before the PGA of America, the PGA of Canada, and I just like the way that the atmosphere, and I love the climate up there. I think they've been lucky, and isn't it interesting that how most of the 90% of the country lives within 100 miles of the border. So that's a wonderful thing. And It's interesting to see who will finally get to the top in this warm-up for them before the US Open.
Well, I love Canada and I love all the provinces. I've been to every one of them and I have friends everywhere. The only province I've not been to, I say every, I've been to all of them except for Newfoundland. I didn't have time to go, and at a restaurant bar one night in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is an unbelievable place, by the way, and some of the most beautiful golf on the earth is in Canada throughout all the provinces, but especially my favorite, Vancouver. But there's great golf on Prince Edward Island and, well,
Sure.
everywhere,
All right.
everywhere. But I didn't get to Nova Scotia. Part of the reason is I didn't understand any one word they said. Newfies. It's amazing.
Nova Scotia, New Scotland.
Nova Scotia, New Scotland, correct. And
Yeah.
they have their own way, their own language, their own words, their own articulation. And you've got to be very careful. You got to spend some time. But Canada's a wonderful place. I love Canada and I love the golf there, the people there. They are our cousins to the north, and we
Yes,
need to make
yes.
sure that we respect them in every way. And we need to love each other, Canadians and Americans.
Yeah.
We
Okay.
need to be big allies. Okay, Bob. Thank
Take
you for
care.
the final word. Have a great week, and we will be back with Bob on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. All right, folks. I went to the dermatologist yesterday, and I got to tell you, I don't get sick. I don't have big problems, occasionally some allergies, as you may know by now. But I don't get sick and I don't have big troubles and problems and issues with my health. But I will tell you, and never anybody or me, in as far as I know in my family and all of our lives, have I ever had any issues with skin cancer or spots on my skin or pre-skin cancer. I tell you, in the last couple of years, though, you've heard me talk about it. I've had some pre-skin cancer spots that had to be taken out. They burn them off. Sometimes they'll shave out a spot, send it for a biopsy. I've been okay. Once I did have to have what's known as a Mohs surgery on the back of my head to remove what was, they said, a cancer spot. Got everything. Everybody fine. Skin cancer is one of the most curable, solvable types of cancer there is, maybe the number one most. But you've got to go to the doctor. You can't sit around and not go. If you see a spot, go. If you see anything changing in color or size or the shape of it, get there fast. Melanoma. If you have a little bump or some issue with your skin anywhere, go. Get to the doctor. Get to your dermatologist. You will be glad that you did. Yesterday I went because I had a couple places, time to go to my wonderful dermatologist. They did three biopsy spots on me that they found, and they burnt off two or three other places. And I got to tell you, I'm so glad that I went. So, folks, I'm here to advocate, to encourage, beg you, go to your dermatologist, get a checkup. Even if you don't think you have an issue, go anyway. Let them do a full body checkup, head to toe. I did it. I've done it three times in the last couple, 2 or 3 years. And let them look after you. Don't forget your sunscreen, please. Don't forget it ever. Doesn't matter if it's cloudy, rainy, if you're skiing in the winter, if you're golfing or swimming or whatever you're doing, other sports in the sunshine, the summer. None of that matters. You wear sunscreen when you go outside for any amount of time at all. Do that, please. Go check it out. Talk to your dermatologist about it. And then the other thing I'm going to say is hydrate. Hydrate, hydrate. Drink the water. Drink the electrolytes, the vitamins, and the mineral waters. There are a zillion of them out there. I'm getting ready to introduce one as a new sponsor of my Great American Golf Show right here. You're going to love it. I'll put it in one of my gift guides coming up. You want to be a part of my America's 250th Birthday Golf Gift Guide. Folks, the graphic on it is absolutely fabulous, with the American flag and the 250th logo. And my caricature is there. We would love to have you get that. It's coming out at the end of the month, 1st of July, with some great products in it. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com, and I'll make sure you're on my list. My summer golf gift guide includes some wonderful new sponsors. Free Baller, where you go in and they have a light on it that it lights up the bushes, get the golf course permission, and they call it Free Baller because you're getting free golf balls. NOX1, the F1 single rider golf car, fabulous. You want to go to NOX1.com. They're in the summer golf gift guide. What a wonderful single rider golf cart that they have invented. Their new store over in San Juan Capistrano is open. They have a big retail center for not just the single rider golf carts, but also lots of other products that Mr. Kim, the inventor, founder, and owner of NOX1, has created. Back Nine is an indoor golf simulator company. And here in Anthem, Arizona, where this show emanates from, the Back Nine is part of my Anthem only segment. Back Nine is located in various locations around the country. You can look up Back Nine Golf. But Back Nine is open here in Anthem. They had their grand opening. They keep it a 72 degree temperature, 24/7 a day. You get your card and your membership. You can go in day or night, 24/7 at the back9golf.com. The golf puck, wonderful way to align yourself correctly from thegolfpuck.com. You want to go there. Founded Golf, figolf.com. The QR code is on a little sticker at the end of your golf grip. If you lose your clubs, it's scanned and you get your clubs back. I want to thank Greenside Essentials. What a wonderful golf towel they have. Now the owner, Kian, who is a very young man out of Frisco, Texas, by the way, also has spent 2 weeks over at his manufacturing factories, and he has created all of the hats now that he's added to Greenside Essentials. That product is in my 2026 summer golf gift guide. So all these products and so many others are coming on board. I cannot wait for you to be a part of getting my new America's 250th birthday golf gift guide. You want to get it? You want to get all of my guides throughout the year and other notices and things? Write to me, golfadams@msn.com, and I'll make sure you get on the list. Folks, enjoy. Practice that short game. Get to your dermatologist. Sunscreen. Hydration. I'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show in a couple of days.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.